Hello and welcome to Moment of Zen, a podcast about everything and nothing. I am your host, Johnson Zen. And before we begin, I just want to talk a little bit about this podcast. This is my first time podcasting, and I'm completely doing this in the blind, so I appreciate any and all types of feedback, whether it's positive feedback, constructive criticism, advice, or if you so choose, negative feedback, hate mail, whatever. Let me know what I'm doing wrong, just anything of that nature. I want to take a few minutes to kind of talk about what this podcast is about. I kind of made this as a project, as a way for me to sort of express myself and convey my inner thoughts, feelings, and interests in a way I've never really done before. I'm sure those who know me know that I'm not a great public speaker or a good talker in general. I have a lot of terrible social anxiety, and I get nervous when I talk to people and end up a lot of times not exactly being able to say what I want to say, or the words come out wrong, and sometimes I just don't know what to say, or I know what I want to say, but I just can't find the right words to kind of speak my mind, and sometimes and I just end up kind of saying nothing at all. There's a line in a Blink-182 song called Stockholm Syndrome that kind of perfectly sums up this feeling for me. If you're familiar with the song, the line I'm referring to is in the bridge, and it goes like, I wish I could explain myself, but words escape me. Shout out to Mark Hoppus for being such a great and clever songwriter. This line really stuck with me, and I want to be able to express myself in a way that I was never quite able to before. And so that's why I'm starting this project. Doing a podcast lets me take the time to kind of write out at least an outline of what I want to say instead of kind of saying it on the spot. I've always found it easier to kind of do that, to kind of write everything that I want to say first and then before actually just kind of saying it out loud. And you're probably thinking right now, what the hell does this guy want to say? That's a good question. Well, for lack of better words, this podcast is literally about everything and nothing. There isn't a set theme or genre, and I'm not looking to accomplish any sort of concrete goal, or I'm not looking to be rich and famous or anything. I just want this project to be sort of cathartic, which is why I named this podcast Moment of Zen. It's not just a play on my last name. It's a way to kind of find inner peace and just a way to kind of de-stress and kind of as a way to relax from the crazy world that we live in. And hopefully you, as a listener, will join me in this journey, and maybe together we'll learn something new about the world and other people and about ourselves, and maybe things you never have even thought about. With that being said, for the first episode, the pilot episode, I thought, what's more appropriate to talk about for the pilot episode than to talk about an actual pilot? So without much further ado, let's get started. So the pilot I want to talk about is an amazing female pilot in the 1930s and 40s. And I know it's not who you're thinking about. It's not Amelia Earhart. And that's not to say that Amelia Earhart wasn't an amazing female pilot. I think she was a total badass to be the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean, especially during the early 1930s when women were, and in some cases still, discriminated against in the aviation industry. Her accomplishments in aviation and women's rights are more than enough to have several episodes dedicated to just describing them and probably even more detailing all of the conspiracies surrounding her disappearance. So why am I not talking about her? Well, I was originally planning on talking about her, but I realized that there are a lot of really good documentaries, books, movies, YouTube videos, and just a lot of media already talking about her. So I didn't think I would be able to give her the due justice in talking about her. And because there's already a lot of other sort of media and information that kind of talk about her, and I thought it'd be really cool to talk about Paulette that probably many folks have never heard of. And to be honest, I've never heard of this Paulette until I started doing some research on Amelia Earhart. I came across a Wikipedia page about female pilots during the early stages of aviation, and one of the pilots really stuck out with me. Her name just really jumped at me, and initially I was really confused, and I thought maybe I was reading it wrong, or maybe I needed better glasses. So I read her name again and again, and I was unsure of myself for a split second. Later, when my brain finally processed what I had just read, the confusion kind of turned to sort of disbelief. So I just clicked on her Wikipedia page, and on her Wikipedia page, the first thing I saw was her picture, and I was like, no way. And just above her picture was her name again, and again, below her picture was her name again once more, but in a smaller font. And below that was her native name. And I just kind of sat back in my chair for a bit and read her name out loud. Hazel Ying Li, the first Chinese American female pilot to fly for the United States military. And this is her story. So Hazel Ying Li was born on August 24th, 1912 in Portland, Oregon. Her Chinese name is please excuse my really bad Mandarin, Li Yue Ying. I hope I at least got that right. I'm sorry. So her parents were Chinese immigrants. Hazel's father, Yue Li, was a merchant, while her mother, Su Lan Wang, took care of the house and looked after Hazel and her seven other siblings. Yeah, before we go on, I just want to say there are a lot of names that I'm probably going to butcher, and I'm really sorry for that. I'm just not really good with names. So moving on, there's not a lot of information about her early childhood, but it does seem that she was very active and she enjoyed swimming and playing handball. So after she graduated high school in 1929, she got a job as an elevator operator at Liebes department store in downtown Portland. This was one of the very few jobs that an Asian American woman was able to hold at the time. Just a little bit of background information about the cultural climate at the U.S. at the time. In the early 1920s, there was widespread anti-Chinese sentiment in the States. There's a lot of discrimination against people of Chinese ancestry. A lot of this can be attributed to the lasting effects of the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882, which was a response to a large migration of Chinese immigrants to California during the gold rush. Despite the anti-Chinese sentiment surrounding her, Hazel was able to discover her passion of flying in 1932 when she took her first plane ride at a Portland air show. Almost immediately after her experience with flying, she joined the Chinese Flying Club of Portland and began learning how to fly. few months later, she became one of the very few Chinese women to obtain a pilot's license. Keep in mind that at that time, less than 1% of the pilots in the U.S. were women, let alone a woman of color, despite the anti-Chinese prejudice and sexism towards women in aviation at that time, as well as opposition from her own mother. She was able to kind of break out of the mold of the stereotype that, you know, Chinese women were passive and submissive, and she proved and showed to the world that they can be as courageous and badass as any other male pilot. So about a year later, in 1933, Hazel traveled to China with a group of Chinese American pilots to help the Chinese war effort against Japan. And for those of you who maybe forgot from their history class, just a kind of quick history refresher, Japan invaded Manchuria about 2 years prior in 1931 to kind of set up a puppet state in mainland China. At that time, China was kind of already sort of in a semi-civil war amongst themselves between the pro-communists and the pro-democracy side, so they were very unprepared for a Japanese invasion. Japan was able to invade and take over Manchuria very easily. Despite desperately needing more pilots for the Republic of China Air Force, they wouldn't let Hazel pilot for them purely because she was a woman. Hazel's husband, on the other hand, Louis Clifford Yim Kun, he was able to join the Chinese Air Force and serve with them. While her husband was serving for the Chinese Air Force, Hazel, she decided to move to Guangzhou, which is in southern China, about 75 miles, 120 kilometers northwest of Hong Kong. She worked as a private airline pilot. After Japan formally invaded China in 1937, well, Hazel chose to stay and continue flying in Guangzhou, even though hundreds of civilians were being killed by Japanese air raids. And there's an unofficial account by friends of hers who said that during one of the air raids, while bombs were dropping and exploding all around her, think like Michael Bay, she kind of like remained really calm and was able to kind of help her friends and family find shelter in the raid. And again, there's no official record of this, but I think it really adds a nice touch to her story. You know, I want to believe that's true, even though there's no official record of it. So even after China faced huge losses of their experienced pilots in Shanghai, where Japan obviously showed their air superiority against China, Hazel was rejected from the Chinese Air Force for a second time for the exact same reason as well. They did not think that a woman should fly in combat. Finally, with Japan's conquest of northern China kind of quickly moving south to where she was in Guangzhou, she was forced to leave Guangzhou and move to Hong Kong before finally returning back to the United States in 1938. Back in the States, she moved from Oregon to New York, where she worked for the Chinese government by buying war materials for China. After Japan attacked Pearl Harbor in 1941, the United States officially entered into the Second World War, and after about 2 years of combat, the U.S. was in need of more pilots domestically because all the pilots were fighting in the war, so they didn't have enough pilots to fly domestically inside the United States. During World War II, there wasn't an Air Force kind of like what we have today. It was part of the Army, and it was called the United States Army Air Force before, I believe after the war, they kind of broke off to kind of form a separate branch of the military known today as the Air Force. The United States Army Air Force, they formed the Women Air Force Service Pilots, or WASP. And it's a quick note about the Wasp. It was actually a merger of two separate women's aviation agencies. The first is the Women's Flying Training Detachment, and the other was the Women's Auxiliary Ferrying Squadron. Over 25,000 women applied to join the WASP, and of the 25,000 applicants, only about 1,800 were accepted, and about 1,000 completed training. I think the number is about 1,074 that completed the training. And among those who applied were Hazel and another Chinese-American woman. Her name was Maggie Gee, and there was also a Native American woman. Her name was Ola Mildred Rexroth, and she was the only other non-white woman to join the WASP. So I believe there was a total of 3 women of color that joined the WASP. As far as the training for the women, for the most part, it was nearly identical to the training that the men received for their air training in the Air Force. So this included about 1,400 hours of flying, as well as learning how to complete Army paperwork. You know, fun, right? The planes that the women learned to fly were pretty much the exact same planes that the men flew. The only difference in the training was that the women were not trained to fire on aircraft machine guns or taught combat flying formations. Anything skill-related was kind of the same. The only caveat was just nothing involved in kind of fighting or combat. The reason for this was the WASP was not allowed to participate in any active combat-related missions, but instead they were mostly tasked with transporting military cargo and helping with some pilot training. So the WASP was only stationed in the U.S., so they did not transport cargo to the European or Pacific theater, and it was just purely domestic. Hazel was among the first women to apply to the Women's Auxiliary Flying Squadron. Before it merged with the WASP, it's been reported that one time during her training, the instructor pilot made an unexpected maneuver and Hazel's seatbelt wasn't properly secured. So she fell out of the aircraft when the plane was upside down midway through a loop. So she falls out of the aircraft, but luckily she had a parachute on and she was able to pull her chute and land safely on a field nearby. After she lands on the field, they say that she walked back to the base, which was about, I think, like 10 miles away, and all the while dragging her parachute behind her. After she graduated from the program, she was assigned to the 3rd Ferrying Group at Romulus, Michigan, where she became the first Chinese American woman to fly for United States military. There, she helped the military deliver aircraft that were being manufactured from repurposed car factories. And in a letter to her sister, Hazel described Romulus as a, quote, 7-day work week with little time off, end quote. So that kind of gives you a sense of how busy and hectic it was for the pilots. None of this really fazed her. She was extremely hardworking and has been quoted as saying, quote, I'll take and deliver anything, end quote. Some of her fellow WASP pilots described her as calm and fearless with a great sense of humor. One pilot in particular, her name was Sylvia Clayton. She's been quoted as saying, quote, Hazel provided me with an opportunity to learn about a different culture at a time when I did not know anything else. She expanded my world and outlook on life, end quote. Hazel used to name each of the pilots prior to a delivery and often wrote in Chinese characters on the tails of the other pilots planes using, I think, her lipstick, I believe. And kind of typical stuff that she would write would be something in lines of courage or luck and all that kind of generic Chinese characters that you kind of probably expect in a tattoo or something. In typical kind of trolling fashion, when it comes to writing something in a language that someone probably doesn't understand, she once wrote fat ass on a plane of a pilot who was a bit on the heavier side. And I'm not condoning fat shame or anything, but I thought it was pretty funny that kind of same thing kind of happens today. I'm sure we've seen those, you know, those memes and those online pictures of tattoos of Chinese characters that someone has and they think it means something, but in reality it means something like really dumb, like I don't know, like fish or whatever, or just something completely different from what that person thought it was. And yeah. And of course, not all of her deliveries and flights were without any problems at all. During one of her deliveries, she had to make an emergency landing, and she managed to safely land on a wheat field somewhere in Kansas. The owner of the land, as you can imagine, wasn't particularly happy that plane landed on his field. Go figure. And upon landing, the farmer went to inspect the plane, and as you can imagine, he sees Hazel outside of the plane and immediately starts freaking out. He grabs his pitchfork and starts chasing Hazel around the plane and screaming at his neighbors and yelling that the Japanese had invaded Kansas. Hazel, who of course is Chinese, is doing her best to kind of avoid the farmer, and so she's running and jumping and ducking all around the plane, kind of parkouring all around the plane, because, you know, she was that awesome and cool. Well, so while she was kind of jumping around trying to avoid the farmer, she was just trying to explain to the farmer that she's Chinese and that she was working for the army. And after several minutes of chasing, Hazel kind of stands her ground and yells at him in a military authoritative fashion who she was, and demanded that he drop his pitchfork. And surprisingly, he did. So following this incident, Hazel would continue to fly for the WASP until her death on November 25th, 1944. About 2 weeks prior to her death on November 10th, Hazel was tasked with going to the Bell Aircraft Factory in Niagara Falls in New York to fly a P-63 King Cobra to Great Falls. So poor weather prevented her from being able to fly safely to Montana from Niagara Falls, and she was forced to be grounded at Fargo, North Dakota, until the weather cleared. And on Thanksgiving morning, which was the morning of the 23rd, the weather cleared enough, allowing Hazel and other pilots to kind of continue with their mission. Around 2 p.m. local time, she manages to reach Great Falls in Montana. Because the weather had grounded and delayed the delivery of so many other P-63s, there was a lot of other planes trying to land at the same time, and because they were really behind in schedule and did not want to miss the opportunity of the good weather, there was a high volume of landings. There was sort of a miscommunication between air traffic control and Hazel as she was landing. So as she landed, another P-63 kind of landed really close to her and collided with her, I believe, the back of her airplane. And so her plane immediately was engulfed in flames, and ground workers kind of rushed to the scene where the plane was. And by the time they got there, the entire plane was on fire, but ground workers were able to pull Hazel out from the burning plane but she was badly burned. They rushed her to the hospital, but the injuries from her burns were just too much, and she died 2 days later on November 25th. To make matters even worse for her family, just 3 days after learning about Hazel's death, the Lee family was informed that her brother Victor was killed in action in France while serving with the U.S. Tank Corps. If you thought that it couldn't get any worse than that, the cemetery where they were looking to bury Hazel and her brother Victor refused to sell them the burial site because of a cemetery policy that didn't allow Asians to be buried in the quote white section of the cemetery. Fortunately for the Lee family, after a lengthy battle with the cemetery, they were able to bury Hazel next to her brother, but in a non-military funeral in her hometown of Portland. And you may be wondering why she got a non-military funeral. So, unlike her brother who served in the army and was officially part of the military, members of the WASP were technically considered federal civil service employees, which are non-elected, non-military public sector employees that work for the federal government. And because of this, not only Hazel was not considered as military personnel, this prevented her from having a proper military funeral. And on top of this, she and the other WASP members did not qualify for military benefits. So after her death, her family had to pay for the return of her body. They could not claim any military life insurance because that did not apply to Hazel. Because normally, if a soldier is killed in action, the military would pay for the return and the burial of the body, as well as whatever life insurance policy that the soldier has taken prior to his deployment. Over the next 30 years, the surviving members of the WASP fought to secure their military status, and in March of 1977, Congress approved Public Law 95-202, which officially recognized the military status of all members of the WASP. And in 2004, Hazel was inducted to the Oregon's Aviation Hall of Honor. And 5 years later, in 2009, President Obama and Congress awarded the WASP with the Congressional Gold Medal, which is the highest civilian honor in the United States. And with that is the story of Hazel Ying Lee, the first Chinese-American woman to fly for the United States military. So I hope you enjoyed that. Hope you learned something new. Hopefully I did not bore you too much or my voice isn't too annoying. Please let me know what I can do to improve. You know, I'm pretty much learning as I go. You know, let me know if there are any other really cool stories that you want me to talk about or anything that interests you. Let me know what I can do to improve, what I could do to make this better, what I can do to make this experience better for everyone. So I'm going to try to do this weekly, and if not bi-weekly, probably be working out a lot of the kinks as I get feedback for this episode. And if you want, you can follow me on social media. I have a Facebook page, Moment of Zen. That is Zen spelled Z-H-E-N. Subscribe if you're on YouTube. I'm on SoundCloud, iTunes podcast. I'll try to expand this to other platforms, maybe to Spotify and other kind of online streaming platforms. But for now, if you want to listen, I'm on, you know, YouTube. You can download this on SoundCloud or iTunes podcast if you so choose. With that being said, thanks for tuning in. And this has been your Moment of Zen. And until next time, take care and stay fresh. See ya.